The Holy Gospel for this Christ the King Sunday is from Luke chapter 23. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by, watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are also under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we're getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I announced twice that it is Christ the King Sunday because by hearing the reading of the gospel, you might think you just stumbled into a Good Friday service. This is a traditional reading for Christ the King Sunday. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about how we got here. First of all, I want to talk about God and God's people and their relationship to kings in the first place. You see, back about 1,000 years before Jesus was born, there were no kings in Israel. There were priests. There were judges. They had a tribal society. And God was God. But the Israelites looked around at their powerful neighbors, and they said, "God, we need a king. All of our neighbors have kings, and our powerful neighbors, they especially are the ones who have kings. God, give us a king so we can be like our neighbors." And God said, "Be careful what you ask for. I don't think you need a king. It's going to draw attention away from me. I am God." And the people said, "Yeah, we know that, but all of our neighbors have kings. Can't you please give us a king? You'll still be God, but we want a king." And they went back and forth on this a few times, and God said, "Fine, I'll give you a king. But don't come back and say, I didn't tell you." And so they had a king. And that worked out really, really well for about 3 generations. David and 2 sons. That's it. 3 generations. is how long the United Kingdom of Israel lasted. After that, they split in half. And there was Israel and there was Judah. And some of them had better kings than others, but for the most part, they just kept drifting further and further away from God, wanting to be like their neighbors, seeing what their earthly neighbors did, wanting what they had, and losing sight of God, and losing sight of the things that God cared about: righteousness and justice, and most of all, not having other gods. And they divided, and they were mostly ruined. And that's where our Old Testament text for today comes in. The prophet Jeremiah is warning the people, mostly warning the leaders. He's saying, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture." And this is kind of an intentional play on words. He's calling those kings shepherds. Because their first king was a shepherd. Because when the people wanted a king, God chose that king. God chose David. And do you remember the story? Of all the sons that were in line to be king, God kept saying, "Nope, not that one. He's too tall and handsome. Nope, not that one. He's pretty handy. Nope, that one. He's really, really intelligent. Not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one, not that one. Do you have another son?" And the brothers said, "Sure. But he's just a kid. And he's watching the sheep in the fields." And that's the one God chose. King David, the little shepherd. And so Jeremiah here is warning the false shepherds. And he said, "It's your fault. You've driven the people away from God. You've not been just. You've not worshiped me." But then he brings the word of hope. He says, "I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David," King David, Shepherd King David, "the days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness." Now we know that Israel and Judah both crumbled. But the people, the remnant of the people who believed God's promises, kept the words of the prophets. And they held on to those words. They clung to those words, and they believed that God would send a king. And they waited. And then came Jesus, who looked nothing like a king. He wasn't powerful. He wasn't rich. He didn't have armies. He had a ragtag band of followers. But God did provide the new king about 1,000 years after King David. And the people didn't learn much in those 1,000 years. When they looked for a king, they were still looking for an earthly type king, one who would build the greater palace, a greater temple, a greater military force to take down Rome. But we've been told, and we know on this side of history, and especially as we've been reading through this Gospel of Luke this past year, that Jesus' kingdom wasn't going to be like that. From angels appearing to shepherds in the field, announcing Jesus' birth, to Jesus announcing forgiveness to the people who were nailing him to the cross, Jesus was nothing like any earthly king they've ever had before or ever imagined would be the one that God would send. Jesus, who was on the cross, and in Luke here we hear them arguing about his kingship and throwing that word at him and spitting that word at him. Even one of the thieves on the cross said, "If you're the king, save yourself." And we'll never know if they meant it or not when they put the inscription over his head, "King of the Jews." But what we do know is that the one thief who took Jesus seriously, the one thief who said, this fellow hasn't done anything wrong, and I think he is the king. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you do come into your kingdom." Well, Jesus turned around and said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Today. Do you understand what that means? That means Jesus became king on Good Friday, not Easter Sunday. It was the cross that made Jesus the king, that saved us all. Now, the resurrection opened the door to eternal life, but it is the work of Jesus on the cross that made him king. And so we ask ourselves, so what does this mean for us today? Well, one, be careful what you ask for. We go all the way back to those people who asked for an earthly king. Be careful what you ask God for, because you might just get it. But it might not be God's idea of what's right for you. More so, as Christians, if we proclaim that Jesus is Lord and King, do we also live what he lived for? Or do we fight it? Do we say, "Well, sure, you know, he's all about forgiveness, so he'll understand if I still go chasing after earthly power or wealth or wisdom or any of those things that we think will save us?" If Jesus is our Lord and King and Master, do we use the same tools of engagement that King Jesus used? Do we use a humble heart, reaching out to those that the world considers weak or broken or unclean or just plain wrong? Not just Jesus hypothetically, but Jesus for real. I think, you know, this time of year especially, there's so many loud voices out there telling you what it is to be a Christian, and telling you, you know, if a clerk in a store says, "Happy holidays," you should get back in their face and say, "No, I believe in Christmas." Don't do that. That's not what Jesus would do. If a clerk says, "Happy holidays," maybe ask them if they've got someplace special to spend the holidays. Ask them if they've got a church home. You know, ask them what their joys and their sorrows are. But don't get in their face and say, "I believe in Christmas. And you're stealing my holiday." No, there's no war on Christmas. It's just the war for our retail dollars. Jesus never calls us to be arrogant. Never calls us to be pompous. I saw the real spirit of Christmas yesterday when our youth and some of our adult volunteers were packing up the food pantry baskets for the people who were receiving Thanksgiving baskets. The outreach social ministry team gets to know people who come in to receive the food baskets. And they're real people with real needs. And the outreach social ministry team knew that we had given out 24 tickets for people to come back and get those Thanksgiving baskets. And the beauty and the grace of yesterday was not even in giving out the baskets we gave. The beauty and the grace of yesterday was we'd given out 24 tickets and only 19 people came in. And the people of our church were concerned because 5 people hadn't picked up their baskets. Was it too cold for them to walk here? One of them usually comes in a wheelchair. We don't know how far he comes from. So, number of blocks. Would his wheels not be able to get around this construction and all that other stuff? That's where Christ is found. See, sometimes even when we do good deeds, sometimes we do them so we feel good. You know? Go bell ringing or something. And that's, you know, it's fine. Do good things and feel good about doing good things. But where I saw Christ was in the concern for the ones who didn't show up yesterday. And it reminded me, on that day of judgment, on that final day, when we are commanded to stand before our King, we need to remind ourselves that we're not going to be standing and answering to the Pharisees who said you need to keep all these laws and do this, this, and this out of the book of Leviticus. We're not going to be standing before the Pharisees. We're not going to be standing before Herod or Pontius Pilate or any political ruler, any earthly ruler. We'll be standing before King Jesus. We'll be standing before our King, and we will be asked to account for our actions. The real King, King Jesus, will look for those actions to be the same actions that he taught his own disciples. Will we be healers and peacemakers? Will we be forgivers? Will we be generous? Will we be compassionate? Today, you will be with me in paradise, he says to those who answer yes. May the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the one we call Master and King. Amen.